Good morning, church family and ministry friends. I'm Pastor Stephen Brooks. Welcome today to our online, internet, around the world church service. And I'm so happy that you're here today. God's Word is going to build you up and strengthen you to do what He's called you to do. And it's going to develop you into the mature image of Christ formed in you. Praise God. Amen. Let's take our Bibles today and go to the book of Numbers, chapter 17. And we're going to receive the holy tithes and offerings. We're going to bring them into the storehouse of the Lord. And I would like to share two scriptures with you that will help you to understand that God has accelerated financial blessing prepared for you. And I want you to step into it by faith. Numbers 17, verse 1, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and get from them a rod from each father's house. All their leaders, according to their father's houses, 12 rods. Write each man's name on his rod, and you shall write Aaron's name on the rod of Levi. For there shall be one rod for the head of each father's house." Isn't that fascinating? So he's going to take all 12 rods, Moses will, and then it says, "Then you shall place them in the tabernacle of meeting before the testimony where I meet with you. And it shall be that the rod of the man whom I choose will blossom." Wow, praise the Lord. Now, look at, let's drop all the way down to verse 8. Now it came to pass on the next day that Moses went into the tabernacle of witness. So the next day, we have a 24-hour period that has passed. Praise the Lord. "And behold, the rod of Aaron of the house of Levi," now watch this, "had sprouted and put forth buds, had produced blossoms and yielded ripe almonds. Then Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord to all the children of Israel. And they looked, and each man took his rod. And the Lord said to Moses, Bring Aaron's rod back before the testimony to be kept as a sign." Now, I want you to understand that God can do quick, speedy miracles. Praise the Lord. And consider what God did of designating that Aaron was his man for the priesthood. And he used the rod that budded to be a sign and a wonder. Now, when we look at the almond, or whenever you smell almond oil, and by the way, the smell of almond oil is one of the most beautiful fragrances. What does that represent, Pastor Stephen? Almonds, or the supernatural fragrance of almond oil, represents God's choice, not man's choice. It represents God's selection, God's choice. Woo, praise the Lord. And I want you to understand that the rod that budded, that was Aaron's, it's not like Moses took these rods, these 12 rods, and stuck them down into the dirt and maybe tried to water them or put some fertilizer on them. No, these are just dead wooden sticks, like a walking stick. And this is a supernatural miracle where God took dead wood and that staff sprouted. It put forth buds. It produced blossoms. Don't you know that was beautiful to behold when they saw that? And it yielded not just almonds, ripe almonds. Have you ever eaten fruit or something off of a tree and you think, that's nice, but it needs about another month? We're getting close to apple season here in North Carolina, where it is the time to harvest the apples. And you know what? You could grab one a month ago and they look kind of good, but they're still too sour. They're not ready yet. But this was a miracle that yielded ripe almonds. You could eat them. They were perfect. Praise the Lord. All of this from a dead piece of wood. Now, of course, we would read this and acknowledge and shout that this is a miracle. And it is. But I want you to know that God With his hand upon your life, his smile upon you, his blessing upon you, God can work an overnight financial miracle for you. Just like Aaron, he went to sleep, and the next day he woke up, and he was God's choice. Woo! Praise the Lord. Now, Moses already knew that, and Aaron knew that he was called as well, but God validated that call. And my friends, you can go to sleep at night, and it is possible with the wonder, miracle-working God that we serve that overnight God can work, and things can blossom and sprout, and the harvest can come in, and the next day you wake up, and within a 24-hour period, God could have wrought such a miracle that now you have the provision that has been released into your life or brought into your life through a miracle of God, and the next thing you know, you're paying off every single debt you have, and within 24 hours, you're debt-free. Woo! Praise God. Amen. This is the type of miracles that God is leading his people into so that the world can see that the church, praise God, the church is God's choice. We are the people of God. We belong to Jesus Christ. We have received Christ into our hearts. Hallelujah. And that blessing will be evidenced to many. Praise the Lord. Now, God is able to do quick miracles. Let's go to the book of Amos, chapter 9. Amos chapter 9, verse 13. And I think I need to read this from the Message Bible because this is fascinating. Amos 9, verse 13. Yes, indeed, it won't be long now. It won't be long now. God doesn't need a whole year to bring your harvest in. And I believe that on the seeds that you sow, you should be expecting miracle harvest. And it doesn't take God 30 years to get it done. Praise the Lord. He can do it overnight. I believe we need to take a hold of these scriptures because these scriptures are anointed by the Holy Spirit in this time in which we're living. Yes, indeed. It won't be long now. God's decree. Things are going to happen so fast, your head will swim. Woo! Praise the Lord, my friends. Things are going to begin to happen financially with God's blessing and your harvest coming in. It's going to happen so fast, it's going to cause your head to swim, trying to figure it all out, trying to stay on top of it and oversee it. Praise the Lord. Things are going to happen so fast your head will swim. One thing fast on the heels of the other. You won't be able to keep up. Everything will be happening at once. And everywhere you look, blessings. Blessings like wine pouring off the mountains and hills. I'll make everything right again for my people. Now, I want you to understand that we are in the time of seed time and harvest, and that just rolling so fast and merging together that as you sow your seed, your harvest is coming back. As it says again in the New King James Version, behold, the days are coming. The days are coming. I believe we are in these days. Release your faith for it. The days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes, him who sows seed. Hallelujah. You know, when in the book of Genesis, when God created the heavens and the earth and all that therein is, God didn't need 700 years to do that. Every single day, he was creating, he was working, he was doing miracles. Praise the Lord. And God is able to do a speedy miracle in your life as well. And I believe he's going to bring financial blessing quickly into your life. We see in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, Luke chapter 18, verses 7 and 8. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones, that's you, who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and speedily. Praise the Lord. I believe there's financial justice coming to you speedily. I believe that the seeds that you've sown, the harvest is coming speedily. Praise God. Now, as you bring in the holy tithes and offerings into the storehouse, I want you to attach your faith for your financial rod to bud, woo, to blossom, and to produce fruit. Well, Pastor Stephen, that would happen. For God to do that, that would have to take like a miracle. Yes, God specializes in it, and God does that on purpose to distinguish His chosen ones. And you belong to Christ. You are chosen. You are special in the eyes of God. And God wants to honor you financially because of your commitment to Him and to His kingdom cause. Praise the Lord. As you bring the tithe and offering in, be mindful of speedy financial miracles where your whole scenario can change overnight for the better, where the multiplication anointing of God can touch your finances and you reap the 100-fold within a 24-hour period. Praise God. This makes life very exciting. I believe God is going to make your head swim. Things are going to happen so fast. Get ready. Get ready. Now, let us bring the tithes and offerings in faith, believing for speedy financial miracles. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. I see just in the spirit right now, somebody, a man, you're looking for work and you have not been able to find suitable work and you're looking for something special. God's going to give you the special job, not 7 months from now, but it's coming speedily, speedily. Praise God. And we see speedily can be literally overnight. Praise the Lord. Now, please send your tithes and offerings to Stephen Brooks International, P.O. Box 717, Moravian Falls, North Carolina. The zip code here is 28654. If you prefer to bring the tithe and offering in online, you can do so by visiting the ministry website, stephenbrooks.org. There's a link on the homepage called Give, and you can click that red heart that says Give, and you can come right in where you can see the segment or the section for the tithes and also for the special projects we have, should you like to sow an offering, which would be greatly appreciated. Praise the Lord. Now, let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I pray for your people as they're honoring you, bringing the tithes and the offerings in into the storehouse. Lord, I ask that you would do speedy financial miracles for them. Let their harvest come in. Let a financial miracle happen for them this week. Father, we give you praise. We believe it. We attach our faith to what you proclaimed in your word. And we believe it, that we are in these days. And prophetically, we know that we are. Thank you, Father, for money miracles. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. And I want to say thank you for your gracious giving. We have purchased the new cinema camera. And I'm not sure if it's shipped out from the manufacturer yet. It might be on the way. But we'll be keeping an eye out for that. Shouldn't take it too long to get here. And once it gets here, we'll get it unpackaged and have the tech team set it all up, get everything dialed in with audio and the video settings and all of that. And so we'll begin to use that for the midweek morning glory messages, the new camera. Praise God. This will be a beautiful camera, cinema camera. I'm excited. I know you are too, to see how it looks. Praise God. And we're also going to take this camera with us when we take international trips, when we go to Israel. We'll take it with us, and we were able to get some accessories so that we were able to get really good audio as we travel abroad, and it's going to be put to good use. Woo! Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you for your giving that allows us to do these special projects. Praise the Lord. Now, special announcement. We have my latest book now in stock. It's called Supernatural Fragrance, published by our friends at TBN, Trinity Broadcasting Network, and Trilogy Publishing. Praise God. That's TBN's publishing branch, Trilogy. We're so excited and honored to be able to work with TBN on this project. Praise the Lord. As they're pushing the book out through their social media outlets, and even it's going to be airing on the Hillsong channel and other outlets, and we'll be also sharing on our networks that we're on. And this book, my friends, I believe is the best book I've written yet. I want you to get a copy. You can get one at the ministry website, stephenbrooks.org, and just click on our online store. And here's a few of the chapters, praise the Lord. The first chapter is first the natural, then the supernatural. And I take you through how God designed smell to work in the natural realm, and how also it can work in the supernatural realm as well. And then in chapter 2, I go into various fragrances that Kelly and I over the years have experienced together. Now, I wasn't able to list all of them, but I listed quite a few. I put 77 of the most well-known fragrances that we've experienced down. And I've given their prophetic interpretation, what when you smell something in the spirit realm, what that prophetically means. And I give scriptures also to give insight into why it would have that particular meaning. So that's going to really help a lot of God's people, because that's one of the main questions I get is when the Holy Spirit begins to move and people start smelling in the spirit realm and you smell a certain fragrance, you're left thinking, well, that's really cool. What does it mean? And all of that is outlined in this book. Praise the Lord. Well, let me just give you a little example. What are some of the fragrances we have in here? Well, we have strawberries, sulfur, suntan lotion, vanilla, vinegar, wet dog. Let's see what else. Violets. We have smoke. We have the steak smell, the stock flower smell, one of the most beautiful fragrances in the world. Of course, we have roses, salt water. What does salt water mean when you smell that in the spirit realm? We have sandalwood, we have popcorn, pina colada, pomegranate, and here's some more: onions, olives and olive oil, oranges, peppermint, nail polish remover. That's a fun one. Myrrh, musk, mouthwash, men's cologne, menthol, leather, lavender, jelly beans. This is really cool. Horse stable, horses, frankincense. That one's very popular. Fresh baked bread, gardenia, grass, grape juice, hairspray, honey, honeysuckle, disinfectant, evergreen, shampoo, cotton candy. Woo! Praise the Lord. Cookies, citronella, cinnamon. I mean, I just began to write out so many of these different fragrances that I've smelt in the spirit realm. And these are all fragrances that Kelly and I, at one point, we've smelled either in meetings or in our time together as we are enjoying the presence of the Lord. Here's one that's very important: bubble gum. You also have butterscotch, cedar, cherry scented pipe tobacco. I think some of you will find that one very interesting. Chocolate. What does it mean when you smell chocolate in the spirit realm? Very, very important. Woo, praise the Lord. Blueberries, barbecue, baby powder, apple pie, ashes, and many, many other fragrances as well. And then I got into some other fascinating subjects, particularly about the Jewish household called the House of Aptinus. And there at the tabernacle, and then the Temple of Solomon, and then you had Herod's temple. Well, you've always had one family, a Jewish family, that would be responsible for the making of the holy incense. Well, when Jesus had his earthly ministry, and he would be at the temple there in Jerusalem, they were offering the incense offering twice a day, morning and afternoon. And there was a family of perfumers known as the House of Aptinus. And they made the sacred incense. And it really took a lot of chemistry, a lot of deep knowledge to create that beautiful holy incense. Praise the Lord. Well, I go into detail and I explain how it was made. I explain the 11 ingredients in the holy incense. Ooh, and what they mean. prophetically and symbolically, I believe it'll be a blessing to you. So my friends, add this to your spiritual library. And if you know somebody that is prophetic and they love fragrance, they love perfume, why don't you get them a copy as a gift? I really believe it will bless them. This again is called Supernatural Fragrance, Following the Perfume of His Virtue. Woo! Praise the Lord. Some of the things in here will stretch you. Get ready. And I know that's what, of course, many of you like. You like to be stretched in your faith, in your walk with the Lord, in these areas of what we would call spiritual growth. And I believe it'll make you happy, 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 happy in your spirit. Praise God. Now, let's take our Bibles today and go to the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I want you to see something in Revelation chapter 4. And I want to talk today about walking in the Spirit. This is your inheritance in Christ. We walk in the Spirit while we're on the earth, but we're not just natural people. We're not like the animal kingdom, you know, like a monkey or a horse or something like that. And I do believe that the animal kingdom can respond to God, just like when, you know, God needed a giant fish. We don't know if it was a whale or whatever it was, but God needed a big fish to swallow Jonah. Well, the fish obeyed. And there's even scriptures about how God whistles for the fly, and the fly obviously somehow knows its creator's voice, and it comes. But we're very, very different, my friends, from animals. We have an inheritance here and also in the spirit realm, and we can walk in two worlds, two realms, both at the same time. I want to talk about walking in the Spirit today. We will be in Revelation chapter 4. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we jump into your word, we ask that your Holy Spirit would come and bring to life the scriptures. Let them be opened up by the anointing of your Spirit. We ask that you would anoint our eyes and our ears to see and hear, to see and hear revelatory truth. We thank you. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. We all agree and say, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's take a little journey today into the spirit realm. Verse 1. After these things, the Apostle John, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. So he's seen in the spirit realm, an open door in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Verse 2, immediately I was in the Spirit. And then we go into the great apocalyptic vision, the end time vision of John the Revelator, John the Revealer of the end times, and Christ as the mighty King of Kings and a Lord of Lords, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Praise God, the great conquering King. I want you to understand that you can be in the Spirit. Now, when John was in the Spirit, he saw a vision, a panoramic vision. But you can be in the Spirit and have other types of sensory experiences that don't necessarily have to be a vision, where maybe you see an angel or you see a door open in heaven or something like that. But you can be in the Spirit. Perhaps you could be in a church service or in a meeting somewhere where the believers are gathered together, like maybe a Christian conference. And you could be in that meeting, and maybe you're in the audience listening to somebody minister, and you could start to get over in the Spirit, and suddenly you start becoming aware of certain things. I've had quite a few people tell me after a conference was over, Pastor Stephen, when you were speaking, as I was sitting there watching you, suddenly I began to see in the Spirit, and I saw the angel that God has assigned to you. I saw him standing behind you, whispering into your ear. and as he whispered into your ear, then you would say what the angel told you. I've had that happen many, many times. So it can just begin to open up. Sometimes you see things. Other times you can just sit there and know the most amazing things. I think I'll get into that knowing here in just a little bit. Praise the Lord. But we want to talk about getting into the Spirit. And I want to focus on this area of not only getting into the Spirit, but the fact that because of the time frame in which we're living and the openness that we have with God, the access that we have with God, I would like for you to consider the possibility, and the possibility is there, but the possibility of you stepping into it to where you can get in the Spirit. Watch this. You can get in the Spirit on demand. On demand. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let me give you an example of this before I share some more about it through personal experience. Let's move now to 2 Kings chapter 3. Praise the Lord. 2 Kings chapter 3. I'd like for us to drop down to verse 9. We see here that we've got three kings gathered together, and they've kind of gotten themselves in a mess. So the king of Israel went with the king of Judah and the king of Edom, and they marched on that roundabout route 7 days, and there was no water for the army nor for the animals that followed them. And so now frustration sets in, and it looks like they're going to die of thirst. You know, you can imagine being out in a wilderness place like that, very rugged. And they've just run out of water. And so what turned into an initial good idea is now turned into something that we could all die out here. Well, what should we do? Well, why don't we call for a prophet? Verse 11, but Jehoshaphat said, is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him? So one of the servants of the king of Israel answered and said, Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah. And Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. How about that? You're a prophet, you're kind of hanging out, and suddenly you have three kings and their whole entourage of their bodyguards and their army all showing up. Because they want you to give the word of the Lord. Remember, get in the Spirit on demand. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Verse 13, then Elisha said to the king of Israel, what have I to do with you? Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother. But the king of Israel said to him, no, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. Obviously, the king of Israel has a negative, very pessimistic attitude. In other words, his walk with God's not right. We already know that. But Elisha is not connecting with him at all. So it's not like he's in the mood to prophesy because he doesn't like the king of Israel. And there's much justification for that. Now, verse 14, and Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, not a perfect king, but definitely a righteous king, I would not look at you nor see you. But now bring me a musician. In other words, he's going to have to do his job anyhow, because this is what he is. This is what he does. He's a prophet. And it's time now for him to prophesy. Bring me now a musician. Why? Because I'm not really in the mood to prophesy, Mr. King of Israel, with you here. You kind of kill the anointing. you don't help the anointing. You're the anointing killer. And so he needs a little boost. Praise the Lord. Why? He's got to get in the Spirit. And he's struggling to do that on the spot. So bring me a musician. Then it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. Now, if you can stir yourself up and get into the spirit, then you don't need a musician. This is not like a rule where every time we're going to prophesy or minister, we have to have a song, three songs, two hymns, and then we'll prophesy. That is what God requires. No, there is no set order like that or set protocol that you have to follow. All you have to do is do whatever it takes to get yourself over in the spirit. And at this time, Elisha, he needs a little help, because he's not too happy about the company that's surrounding him. He likes Jehoshaphat. He's not too hot on everybody else. So in times like that, when you're swimming upstream against the current, look for every available means of assistance to help you get into the spirit. Now, in the Old Testament, they would take it just as much help as they could get, because it's not like it is today where the Holy Spirit, who is now in the earth indwelling the believer, they didn't have that luxury back then. But as the musician played, that began to help the prophet to begin to stir up the anointing, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And now he can get into the spirit and do his thing. But I want you to notice something. You do not see Elisha answering these men with a statement like, "Well, now, hold on just a minute. All three of you showing up at the same time? Nobody has notified my secretary. This is not right. I need an email to get ready. I haven't prayed enough. I need to fast for 20 days first." No, they're here. They need the word of the Lord. And it's time for you to do your thing, Elisha. Praise the Lord. So he stirs it up. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon him. And he said in verse 16, "Thus says the Lord," and he launches into a wild prophecy that it's going to take a miracle to fulfill it. But within 24 hours, God, my friends, had done another miracle. I'm telling you, God can do speedy, fast miracles. It's not hard for God to do that. Praise the Lord. We need to be expecting quick miracles. Hallelujah. But my friends, he got in the spirit. And he didn't say, "I can't do it. Today's my day off. Not today. I've had enough work already. I can't do it. I'm burned out. I'm tired." No, he had to be able to get in the spirit on demand. Now, it is true that I would say, you know, like at least up to the 1960s. Before that, there was the mentality within Pentecostal circles that if you were going to move in any gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy, or just to get in the Spirit alone, would require a sovereign move of God. And if the Spirit of God moved and came upon you, maybe once every 3 years or something like that, then when it happened, then you would prophesy, or then you would be in the Spirit, and then you could do whatever the Spirit of God wanted you to do. Gifts of healings or whatever it might be. But it was viewed in the minds of many believers that you could not get in the spirit, you could not prophesy unless there was a sovereign move of God. And then if that move actually happened, then you would capitalize on that, you would enjoy that, you would deliver the word, you would do your thing, and then it was over. You enjoyed it because you just didn't know when it was going to happen again. Might be 13 years before it happens again. But as we began to get further into the understanding of the gifts of the Spirit, and as the ministry office of the prophet began to become more fully restored back to the church like it was in the early church, in the days of the New Testament, as we see in the book of Acts and so forth, when those ministries were really rooted, because these are ascension gift ministries that Christ gave to his church when he ascended on high and led captivity captive, Ephesians chapter 4. But my friends, as we see the apostolic and prophetic really regain the traction that they've had in the early early church, we see that you can actually stir up that prophetic anointing. You can stir it up, and you can learn to prophesy on demand. And I know there are some, even in Spirit-filled churches, that really are very nervous about that type of thinking. They still have that mentality. It has to be a sovereign move of God. But I have seen it happen too often, too consistently, of how it can be stirred up and operate in pure power without there being a previous, you know, kind of like get the musicians, and we have to have a full choir. We have to do all of that, or else something's going to happen. No, there are just moments raw. You just have to go for it, and if you need it, the Holy Spirit comes, and the next thing you know, you're in the Spirit and you're ministering precise, with accuracy, with power, signs, wonders, and miracles following. I'll give you a funny example. This was about, maybe like a year and a half ago. I'd have to pull up the pictures. You know, on your smartphone, the pictures are actually dated, so you can see exactly when it was. So I don't have the pictures here with me, but Kelly and I had the pleasure and the enjoyment of sitting down with Bishop Bill Hammond for dinner, having a meal with him, and Apostle Gary Greenwald was there, and we were having a very nice meal together. And Bishop Hammond had just returned from South Korea. I think he was ministering in Seoul and in other places. And, you know, they just about wore him out while I was over there, because everybody there, all the Christians, want him to prophesy over them. And I think he has now prophesied personally one-on-one to over 75,000 people. And that includes everybody from kings and rulers to, you know, just anybody and everybody. He's ready to go. Well, we're having dinner with him, and he had already ministered, and now it's after the meeting. We're at the restaurant, and it's pushing 10 o'clock at night. And he has just gotten back, if I'm correct, the day before, he just arrived back from South Korea. So he is severely jet-lagged. He's in his 80s. He's tired. He's been going all day, and he just preached the meeting. And now it's late at night. And we're sitting there having a meal. Well, we're all just kind of having fellowship. And after the main courses are finished and everybody's kind of, you know, happy you had your food, he wanted dessert. And so we showed him the dessert menu, and he decided to get like a soda ice cream float, kind of like a root beer float. And he ate it all down, had like 3 scoops of ice cream and root beer, drank it, got it all down. And this is after his meal. And now he's all happy. And we begin to talk with him just briefly about our children, and said, "Bishop Hammond, would you prophesy over our children?" Now, the children aren't there. We have 3 children: Matthew, the oldest, Jennifer in the middle, and then Abigail, the youngest. And we said, "Bishop Hammond, would you prophesy over our children?" Matthew, of course, is a guy. Jennifer's a young lady, and Abigail's a young lady, of course. And didn't give him any details. They don't know anything about. He doesn't know anything about their lives or anything like that. So Kelly and I, we take our phones, we put it on record, and we record everything he says. After being all wore out and tired, I said, "Bishop, I know you've been going all day long." He says, "I'm ready." He said, "Turn your phone on." I said, "Okay." He said, "Hit record." He goes, "You ready?" I said, "Yeah, we're ready." And boom, he just takes off. And he starts prophesying about Matthew, who's never met. He doesn't know who he is, doesn't know what he looks like, and starts supernaturally revealing all types of situations with Matthew's life that me and Kelly are very familiar with, because Matthew is married and has 2 beautiful daughters. And he just starts prophesying, and it's just totally supernatural, just telling everything really that Matthew's going through right now and how God is working in his life with ministry and so forth. It's just totally incredible. And then he moves on to Jennifer. Jennifer's married, has two beautiful boys, and he starts prophesying about Jennifer and what she's like and what God is doing in her life, and it's just crazy. It's just totally supernatural, every single bit of it. But Pastor Stephen, he can't do that. We need to have a three-hour church meeting. We need to have a choir come into the restaurant, and we need to have God shake him, and angel feathers begin to fall, and then he can prophesy like that. No, he's prophesying jet-lagged, tired, just ate a meal, and just took down a root beer float, and he's just ready to go, on demand, anytime. I think if you literally woke him up at 3 in the morning, he'd be ready to go. And then he begins to prophesy about Abigail. It goes right down the line. This is where she's at. This is what God's doing in her life and all this stuff. It is crazy because we know natural knowledge that he doesn't know about our children, and he's just like opening the whole thing up. And it's very, very beautiful, very, very powerful. We would send the videos because we recorded it, we would send it to the children, and they would go, my goodness, that's wild, because it's so accurate. Woo! Oh, Pastor Stephen, we can't do that. Yes, you can. You can stir it up. You can get it in the spirit. We can get it in the spirit. Praise God. Praise the Lord. It's a beautiful thing. I had already caught on to this, like, it was about, over 20 years ago. I think it was maybe like 24 years ago when I was at a world convention of the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International, or for short, FGBMFI. That's what everybody calls it. Okay, so it was the world convention. It was in Anaheim, California. And Kelly and I went to it and had many friends there. And I was a chapter president, so, just hanging out there, having a good time. And I think there was somebody speaking. I can't remember who one of the main speakers was. I think it was like Reinhard Bonnke. And for those of you that have ever been to a FGBMFI meeting, it's like almost every meeting runs overtime. If it's scheduled to get out at 8, get out like at 9:20. So everything's like, and then if it's scheduled to get out at that time, then there's other classes or other stuff going on. And so now things begin to like overrun, and it gets kind of interesting. Well, Kelly and I, we really wanted to go to a prophetic class, which was when I say prophetic class, there was going to be a prophet. He's just going to teach a little sermon, then he's going to prophesy to people. And that prophet was known around the world as a great prophet, and his name was Chuck Flynn. And Chuck lived in Southern California, and they would always ask him to speak and minister at those big world conventions and everything. Well, Kelly and I were going to go to that class, and we wanted to receive prophetic ministry from Chuck Flynn, but the previous session had run so long over time that it just got the whole thing off track, and it just completely, there was no time for Chuck to do his class. He was still going to do it, but some people that were wanting to go to that, like me and Kelly, we had to leave because we had to be at work or something like that, and so we couldn't stay there for the whole thing. So I saw Chuck Flynn coming out of the meeting, and he's going to the classroom that's down the hallway or somewhere like that so he can go teach and, minister to the people. And he's just walking along. I said, Chuck, I said, my wife and I would like to receive prophetic ministry from you, and we don't have time to go to the class. We had really planned on going to your class and wanted to, but the time overran and we're not going to be able to go. And so could you just minister to us right now? He said, well, sure I can. I said, do you need to pray or anything? He goes, no, he says, I'm ready. He said, I'm always ready. And I remember, like, to me, that sounded so different from what I'd heard before, like, well, we need to fast for 40 days. And then maybe God might move upon us, and then maybe we can minister to somebody. No, you can just go with the flow, and you can walk in the Spirit. And if you really do develop a walk in the Spirit, you're ready. You're ready. Woo! Praise the Lord. And so we had a tape recorder. My wife and I, remember with prophecy, you want to get it, record it, and not just on a tape, get it on a tape, but then take it from the tape and convert it into a written format on paper so that you can keep it with you and you could watch that prophecy unfold. And Chuck Flynn gave me and Kelly the neatest prophecy. He had some statements that he was dropping in it that were so cool. I mean, in other words, this is not like the fake stuff out in the world with, you know, horoscopes, where really after a while you realize, hey, the horoscopes, they all sound the same. You're just changing words here and there. That could fit anybody. Well, no, this is not the fake stuff. This is the real laser precision, only fit you type thing. And so he started saying certain things, and the prophecy was so powerful that even today, 24 years later, I still remember almost everything he said. Why? Because it was just like, wow, it was such a powerful prophecy, and it was totally off the cuff. Walking down the hallway through all kinds of people going all over the place while we're holding the tape recorder, and you know, and the meetings run over time, and all this holy pandemonium going on, and he's prophesying with such precision and grace and beauty, no strain, no struggling, trying to get the word up. I need a musician. I need a keyboardist so I can pray. No, none of that. Just, boom, here it is. Just lets, thus says the Lord. Just starts talking while he's walking and while we're holding the tape recorder. Praise the Lord. Getting in the Spirit on demand. Now, when you get in the Spirit, I can't say that you're going to have a vision like John had and you see heaven open and you're caught up in the heaven. But I am saying that if you get in the Spirit, you will enjoy those benefits of walking in the Spirit, which of course primarily would be the fruit of the Spirit, because you cannot manifest the fruit of the Spirit if you're not walking in the Spirit. The first of the fruit of the Spirit is love, but that's agape love. That's a giving love. That's a sacrificial love. Even if you know it's the right thing to do, you won't do it. You actually can't do it. You don't have that ability to step into that if you're not walking in the Spirit. Because our natural life, if left just to walking in the flesh, as we would say, would be to, number one, gratify the desires or cravings of the flesh, and number two, to put everybody else second and to put yourself first. So you can't even walk in the fruit of the Spirit if you're not walking in the Spirit. That's why we need to walk in the Spirit consistently, continually. Yes, so we can bear forth that fruit, and so that we can also merge into the spiritual inheritance that God has for us. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Here's another example. And I'll share this because we're getting very close to Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And for many years, Prophet Bob Jones would wait on the Lord on the Day of Atonement for fresh revelation. And the Lord would always take him into a vision and would show him things concerning the coming new Jewish New Year. And he would show him what the Lord was going to be doing in the upcoming year and so forth. But the Lord would always take him into a vision. Yes, Pastor Stephen, that was sovereign. Once a year, God would touch him and take him into a vision sovereignly. No, it wasn't sovereign. It was something that he had developed himself spiritually to step into, because it wasn't just on Yom Kippur. He's having those type of catching up moments. He was having that on a very, very consistent basis. I would even say on a daily basis. And the saying was that Bob Jones went to heaven or had heavenly visions and encounters. He went to heaven the way most people would go to Walmart. And I found out that that was actually true. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But see, you have to maintain that walk. And you have to push into that and develop into that, so that it's not something that's just a rare once in a blue moon type thing. But no, it can become, are you ready for this? It can become miracles on demand, prophecy on demand, whatever's really needed. But you're going to have to be able to be in the Spirit, and you're going to have to become like Elisha. You're going to have to maintain a very strong walk with the Lord, so that when there is a demand on that anointing, you can move into it and you can respond. Mm-mm. Now, I will admit that within the body of Christ, there is a lot of superficial, shallow. I wouldn't call it fake. I would call it muddy water type stuff that is passed off as being in the spirit, and it's not. It's soulish. And that mixture, that muddying up the water, is what has turned off many very solid Christians from accepting this part of their inheritance, because they're seeing it wrongly represented. They're seeing it represented by somebody that says, "Oh, I just had a vision." And it's something that's coming out of their soulish realm, because they don't have a true walk in the Spirit. How do you know? The fruit of the Spirit is not there. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. You see everything else. You see envy. You see jealousy. You see quarreling, backbiting, and on and on. So you can't be walking in the flesh and then saying, "Oh yes, I just got back from another heavenly vision." Well, that's all soulish stuff. So that's turned a lot of well-meaning people off that are curious about this. But even still, my friends, we have to press in to the real thing. Can you say yes? Mm-mm. And here's the reality. If you live it as a lifestyle, you can stir it up. But it takes a real dedication, a real commitment to walk in it. Praise God. And I've been blessed. I have to give the Lord all of the praise. I have really been blessed to be able to meet and know many, not only in America, but around the world, who have pushed into this walk, who value this walk, who know the reality of this walk, and are intent on maintaining this walk of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. And as I'm around people like that, as we hang out together, it's amazing the things that can be stirred up so easily. Why? Because you can get in the Spirit so easy. Mm-mm. Praise God. Now, if you don't maintain that daily walk in the Spirit, what will happen is that you have to break through from almost like a ground floor type level. It doesn't mean that you're just like young in the Lord. You can be mature in the Lord, but if you neglect that walk, you're going to still have to break through first the pull of the flesh that would rather watch TV than, you know, go and get into the Spirit. It would rather do some form of recreation or something else, anything, but getting in the Spirit, because the flesh doesn't have any interest in that. I'm talking about the flesh nature. Now, you're also going to have to overcome the soulish realm. And the soulish pull can be very, very strong, and it will really, really compete with your spirit. It can have tremendous pulls. And your soul will want to do certain things. And those things can actually be good. They can be nice things. But you have to make a choice sometimes between spirit and soul. In other words, this is the only opportunity you have to push into the spirit. But the soul says, "Yeah, but I want to do this. I want to do this." I'll never forget the time I was with a great man of God, and Kelly and I were riding around with him, spent the whole day with him as he was ministering in one meeting after another. He'd move powerfully in the spirit in one meeting. The meeting would conclude, we'd get in his car and then drive straight over to another meeting because he was in such demand because of God's power upon his life. And so finally it came to the point where the meetings were concluded for the day. And he looked at his watch and he realized he still had time. Time to do what? Time to do what his soul so much wanted to do. Which, now, you may think this is silly. You may think, why would that be such a strong pull on a person? But we all have different, we have different pulls. You know what his was? You know what his soul wanted to do? He wanted to get his car washed. And that it's not like he wanted to do 100 things. He just wanted to get his car washed. But you know what? He couldn't for days and days and days. Why? He's got all these meetings. Oh, Pastor Stephen, he can easily push something of God's off to the side and slip that in to get the car done. But his life was so condensed and compacted, he only had time to do what was on the agenda. And there was no extra time for the car wash unless he gave up something of the Lord that was very much needed in order for those meetings to be successful. Mm-mm. Praise God. Look, let me speak to ministers just for a moment. If you have a meeting that you're going to go minister in, but before that meeting, you spend all of your time maybe out on the golf course or doing something else or going to the mall or doing something else. I'm not saying it's anything wrong, but you're doing all this other stuff. Then you're going to go into that meeting, and you have to really watch out because the enemy, he can do things in meetings to disrupt that you cannot get through it in the flesh. You cannot get through it in your intellect. You cannot get through it with ministerial training. You have to be able to respond on demand, on the moment, in the spirit, to deal with these goofy things the devil does. And if you're out on the golf course all day, you will absolutely not be ready for that. And if the meetings are real important, you can be guaranteed, just about guarantee it, he's going to do something goofy is going to happen, and you have to be able to deal with that in the spirit. And if you can't get in the spirit, there's no telling what could happen. It could very well mean that that meeting will not reach the potential that God had planned for it because of the disruptions that the enemy will try to do. How about this one? There was a woman speaker hosting a women's conference. No men, just all women. And there were maybe about, there was like 4,000 women in the conference. Okay, so the host, who is the speaker, she's the main speaker, she gets up to speak. She starts speaking, and she starts talking. All the women are listening. She's teaching the Bible, right? And suddenly, into the convention center, into the meeting, runs a streaker, a man with no clothes on, no underwear on, no socks on, running all over the meeting. Everything, just showing and turning around, letting all the women see him and stuff. That's the devil that would do something like that. Now, if you're the speaker, you're that woman, what are you going to do? Because the devil's going to try to blow this whole conference up right there. He's going to try to make sure that the primary impression that all those women leave with after the conference is over is that new dude running around with no clothes on. And you know what? That woman of God stood there with the calmest demeanor. She had just fasted for 21 days with no food. She stood there with the most calm demeanor why that idiot ran around, and she said, you know what? God's speaking to me right now that although the enemy is doing this to cause trouble, the Lord is turning it, and he's showing us, he is speaking that we need to get naked before him because God wants us to deal with these issues in our heart, and he wants full transparency. Now, she's not saying take your clothes off. She's saying that we need to open our hearts to the Lord so he can do the deep work that he wants to do. And you know what? Eventually some ushers, I think, that were working there at the place came and got that guy out of there. But the enemy's goofy plan to mess with people's minds and to disrupt the conference flopped completely. It had absolutely no effect. And God actually took it and turned it and used it for something that really connected with all the ladies there. And it was a tremendously successful conference. But what would you do in a situation like that if you've been out at the mall shopping all day? Oh, I can get up there and preach. I don't need to really pray that much. I've already got a few sermon outlines. I'll just preach that. And then something like that happens. I tell you what, there are certain things that are taking place in the earth where getting into the spirit must not be something that's just maybe, we'll save that for special moments. No, we need to be walking in the Spirit, and we, on demand, need to be able to get into the Spirit at a moment's notice. Praise God, when special things are required. Woo, praise the Lord. Mm-mm. So we're going to have to live in this spiritual walk, not just visit this place of the Spirit occasionally. Yes, Pastor Stephen, back in 1943, I had a vision and I saw a blue angel with green feathers. That's nice. That's nice. But that was a long, long time ago. We need to have these fresh encounters that are maintained through a daily walk. Praise God. Now, the solutions that we need are in the Word of God, but in order to extract them from the Word, we have to be able to get into the Spirit, because it is the Spirit that brings forth that revelation, that illumination of the Word that instructs us what to do. Imagine if you were a Christian in Afghanistan right now. You couldn't get on a plane. And you're there and you're surrounded by the Taliban. What do you do? Well, it's probably different for different people, for different families, or for different, you know, it could be. And there are, I've heard of 5 pastors in Afghanistan that have said that the Lord has told them to stay. Now, they have to a degree be in hiding, but the Lord has told them to stay in hiding and stay there, because many in the Taliban are going to be saved and they're going to be like, Saul turned to Paul, type conversion experiences. They're going to come to Christ. So there are those that have been instructed by God to stay, and that God will conceal them and hide them and protect them. But I'm sure there's others that God has given instructions. You need to leave, and this is the way out. Because if you know, every few miles, there's like another layer of a perimeter of Taliban that are, you know, checking everything. But if God wants you out, God will give instructions to get out. But you're going to have to be able to get into the Spirit to find out what you're supposed to do. Not copy somebody else. You have to know what God wants you to do. And that means you're going to have to get into the Spirit. Praise the Lord. This is something, getting into the Spirit, that we must climb up into. It reminds me a little bit about Jacob's ladder. Praise the Lord. Jacob, he laid down and took a stone for a pillow. Praise the Lord. And maybe he hadn't heard yet of Mike Lindell's Pillow Company. Well, he took a stone. Praise God. That must have been very uncomfortable. But nevertheless, if God's in it, you'll sleep just fine. So he takes the stone, lays his head on it, and he has this dream of the ladder going up into heaven, and the angels are going up and down on the ladder. And there are some, I've read some mystic saints that have actually said that they were given insight to that ladder. The ladder actually has 40 rungs, and you have to go up the ladder, 40 rungs. And some even say that the 40 rungs would or 40 steps on the ladder would represent the 40-day fast. Because when Jacob says, the Lord is in this place where he was laying his head, many believe that's also the place where Jesus laid his head when he was out in the wilderness during his 40-day fast. He actually laid his head in that very same spot. It's interesting. I'm not sure if that's all correct in a sense, but I do know this, that if you're going to go up that ladder, you're going to have to go step by step, and you have to go up. Praise the Lord. You must go up the ladder into the Spirit. You must do something to ascend the ladder. Make yourself available to every spiritual means of weaponry that God has placed into your hands. That doesn't mean you have to do a 40-day fast or go, you know, that's not what I'm trying to say, but I am trying to say that you have to find what works for you. You can't do formulas. I understand in chemistry and in science, we need formulas. But in the spirit realm, in your walk with God, formulas don't work. You have to find what works for you and how your flow is and what works for you, and then utilize that. Praise God. And whatever it takes to get into the Spirit, that's what you must understand is the route that you have to take. Now, this is interesting. And here, my friends, is where a real challenge enters into the walk of the Christian. What happens when you do get into that walk and you step into it and you're like, Lord, this is real living. I understand now, Lord Jesus, what you meant by saying that if we lose our lives, we'll find it. We'll find your life, which is way better, because it's veiled until you step into it. But what happens when you step into it and you're walking in it and you're saying, God, this is amazing. But Lord, I don't want to slip out of this. Lord, I didn't do all of that work to get here just to visit this place. I want to live in this place. I want to walk with you like Enoch did. I want to have this be something that is established in my life as a walk in the Spirit, not an occasional, type experience. I want this to be grounded in me. What do? Well, you're going to find out that you're going to be faced with the same temptation that was thrown towards the Lord there at the end of his ministry. Let's take a look at it just for a moment. In the Gospel of Mark chapter 15. Mark 15. Let's drop directly down to verse 30. And these are those who were blaspheming Jesus while he was on the cross. And they said to him, "Save yourself and come down from the cross." Come down from the cross. The cross is the safe place. The walk of the Spirit is the walk of the crucified life. And, of course, the cross, a means of crucifixion, is an instrument of death. Praise the Lord. So to walk in the Spirit entails the crucifixion of the flesh nature. And the whole world system will tell you, you don't need to be doing that. Come down from that place. You don't need to be walking in the Spirit. Come down off the cross and do what everybody else is doing. Well, first of all, not everybody else is doing that. God has always had the proverbial, the symbolic 7,000 who have never bowed the knee to Baal nor kissed his lips of the filthy demonic idol. Praise the Lord. God has always had a remnant in the earth, and he always will, of those who are completely uncompromising in their walk with him. So not everybody's out there doing all the filthy stuff. Praise the Lord. But you will have those that will say, come down from the cross. Even within the church, you'll have those that will say, oh, that's extremism. Well, no. It's just that some have gotten so soft and have gotten so far away from the Lord that to them it would seem to be extreme. I'll never forget the time, I've shared this before, I was in high school, I was a senior in high school, and in band class, I had this girl that she would sit close to me sometimes, and she was my neighbor, lived right next to me where I grew up at, where I was living at that time in high school. And she said, hey, Stephen, what are you doing after, now, because band was the last class of the day, she said, what are you doing after band class today? I said, I'm going to run home, because I was on the track team. She said, oh, no, you're not. I said, yes, I am. I'm going to run home. She said, that's not humanly possible. That's too far. I said, well, you may think that, but I said, soon as we get done here and I go over to the locker room and change and put my shorts on and my running shoes on, I'm leaving and I'm running home. And eventually there came a point where she saw me out running, and the teachers would see me out running. And I was very successful in running track in high school, went on and ran in college and so forth. But what I'm trying to say is that some people say, oh, that's extreme. Well, not really. Not really. I found out later that there were others. I would go to the other track meets and I'd meet other guys. They're pretty good. And, hey, how many miles are you running a week? And, oh, this is how many I'm doing. And, so they're obviously running all the time also. It's just that to her, bless her heart, she was a couch potato. She never really liked exercise, and that's fine. She just didn't have an interest. She had other interests, like, you know, just like listening to music. That seems like what a lot of the other teenagers were doing. They would have these, remember the Sony Walkman? I had another neighbor on the other side of the house, and she was like a little bit younger than me. She was in high school, and all she ever did was listening to Michael Jackson, or, you know, the pop music back then from the 80s. And she's like, how come you're not listening to music? And, well, I didn't listen to it because my parents wouldn't let me, because we belonged to a very strict Christian religious denomination that was very, you could even say, legalistic. But that was for sure that my parents didn't allow me or my brothers to listen to secular music. So my one neighbor in band thought I was crazy because she thought I was making up stories about running. He's an extreme nut. And the other neighbor on the other side thought I was crazy because I wasn't listening, you know, 18 hours of the day to all the music that she was listening to. That was her world. Praise the Lord. But my friends, you'll have many voices say, come down from the cross. Come down from the cross and come enjoy what we're doing. Here's a beer for you. But the Lord wasn't going to. And in order to maintain that walk in the Spirit, you're going to have to maintain that embracing of the old rugged cross. Praise the Lord. And we find the Apostle Paul understanding this mystery as well, which is why he says in the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. By the way, if you don't crucify it, those passions and desires can irritate you, can bother you, can distract you. So you have to get all of that under. You have to really push. You have to really push, my friends, to walk in the Spirit and to get into the Spirit. And then when you get in there, just maintain it. Don't come off the cross. Just stay there, the safest place. That's where the Lord wants you to be. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, here's the thing. If you will walk in the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit will flow out of your life. Paul mentioned that earlier in verse 22. But you can also move not only in the production of fruit, but because you're walking in the Spirit, you can move into a place of walking in the Spirit where you can get into the Spirit on demand. Woo! And that, my friends, is something that must be maintained and developed to experience. It's interesting how God created our hands, particularly our fingers, because if you ever do a study of human physiology, even the area of kinesiology with muscles and the way God has put our body together, you will understand that, for example, with your fingers, you have the ability to perfect fine motor skills. And also with your hands and your arms, you could have what would be called gross motor skills. Gross motor skill, me grabbing the pulpit and lifting it up and moving it over there. Okay, that's just a gross motor skill. It doesn't really take a whole lot of practice. It's just something that I do that's just a big motor skill. But if you want me to take these hands and these fingers and play the violin and play a beautiful song on the violin, that takes years and years and years of practice. If you want to take a guitar and you want to learn to play it really well, you're going to have to develop all of those little bitty fine muscular motor skills that are so deft and precise, and it takes years to develop that. But my friends, the walk in the Spirit is not like a gross motor skill. You know, I can just do this anytime I want to. Okay, the walk in the Spirit is more like a fine motor skill. But if you will take the time to develop that, you can move in the Spirit. You're like a fish in water. You're comfortable in that. You can actually get to where you can move in the Spirit comfortably. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's a place that I would call, in my walk with the Lord, I would call it like the area of the summit of the mountain. And I can push into it. But it's like going up a mountain. It takes everything. It's like going up Mount Everest. It's like, Lord, give me some oxygen. Give me some support. It takes a sacrifice to push into it. But if there needs to be miracles on demand, I can push into that. I want to share something special. I taught a class a few weeks ago through the internet to some students in Singapore that attend a mystic school. And they're in Singapore and also over Southeast Asia. And it was being hosted by an apostle over there, and he wanted me to teach on the mystic walk or the walk in the Spirit. There is a place that I can push into on demand. I can get into where by God's grace when I come into it is very, very interesting. I can, when I get into that realm, I can sit in a church service. Are you ready for this? I can sit in a church service, and I can just sit there and know whether or not the Holy Spirit likes that song. Oh, now, Pastor Stephen, God likes all the songs we sing to Him. Oh, don't even believe that for a moment. No, don't believe that for a moment. There are some songs I can tell the moment the worship leader starts on them, it's God doesn't want to hear it. The Holy Spirit just lets me know, that's the wrong song. Praise the Lord. It's fascinating what He'll show you in the Spirit. When I get into the Spirit like that, the moment somebody, for example, would get a supernatural tongue and they give that utterance out, which needs a public interpretation. They stand up before the assembly and they give that tongue out. The moment they give it out, while they're giving it out, I already know what the interpretation is. I can stand up with no strain and give exactly the precise interpretation of what that person just spoke in the Spirit. And I don't have to say, wait. I need to go seek the Lord some more before we get into this. No, it's on demand. And not only that, they just gave the tongue. Somebody needs to interpret that. I think it means this. I think that it means that we need to go home and eat chicken soup. No, that's not what that means. That came out of your soul. I don't know why you have that on your mind, but that's not what that means. No, when it's interpreted properly, it will lift and edify the entire assembly. I'm not ready. You have to be ready. You have to walk in the Spirit. Oh, but yes, Pastor Stephen, but you need that because you're a preacher. But my friend, you need that because of your calling of where God has you at, because there's some solutions that you're going to need for the situations you face in your career field that unless you can get into the Spirit and access that wisdom, access that fresh word, access that direction of God, then there can be a moment where you get stuck and you can't move past that unless God gives you that help and that insight. Praise the Lord. But my friends, this is what the Lord is demanding of us. This is what creation longs for. The unveiling of the sons of God, walking in the image of Christ in the earth. When I say sons, I'm talking sons and daughters, of course, of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Enjoying your natural inheritance, enjoying your family, your home, enjoying your food, enjoying your vehicle, but at the same time, knowing that's not all you're created for. Praise the Lord. You're created to be able to go into the glory realm. You're created to be able to access that spirit realm. And it's not just for perhaps what we would call an elite few. It is for anybody that is willing to develop their walk with the Lord and move into that. I have found that the greatest challenge, and it's true for even the ministers, those that I know and I'm friends with and that as we tried to walk this, the greatest challenge, you know what, is not coming down from that cross. You have to stay on that cross to really get into that place where you're in that glory. Praise the Lord. But yes, it can be maintained. Enoch had that walk, and many other saints had that walk. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And it does come down to a day by day choice. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God has solutions for you. God has things that He wants to show you and share with you that are pertinent to His assignment for your life. That's why you must press in. Press in. Can you believe the Lord told me this one time? I had a vision from the Lord, and in this vision concerning one of my former books, the Lord said, take the chapter that you put in the back of the book and move it all the way to the front of the book. Can you believe I was so stupid that I put the best chapter at the end because I thought I was being humble? I wasn't being humble, I was being stupid. The Lord said, that needs to be up at the front. That is the most powerful part of the book. That is your testimony. You need to tell that from the front. I said, yes, Lord, I will certainly do that. Woo! Praise God. I'm telling you, the Lord will. He'll set you straight. He'll help you in so many things. He knows exactly what to do. And the help and the answers that you need are all available. They're all available. Praise God. Lift up your hands. Heavenly Father, I pray for those whose hands are lifted and whose hearts are surrendered, who desire to meet you in the realm of the Spirit, to walk with you in the Holy Spirit. We thank you, O God. We thank you, Father God, that in the process of seeking, there is refining, there is purging, there's cleansing, there is the establishing of victory within the walk of the believer. We thank you, Father, for the great work that you're doing. Father, I pray that by your Holy Spirit, you'd pull your people into this walk. Hallelujah. A generation of Enoch saints, a generation of Enoch saints, a company of believers that refuse to be strictly earthbound. We give you praise. We thank you, Father God, for access into what rightfully belongs to us. Bless your people. Show them the path. We thank you, Father God, for illumination. In Jesus' name, we all agree and say, amen. Woo, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's pray for somebody together. We just received this email yesterday from a lady, and her name is Deb. She's in Illinois. So I won't say exactly who it is with their last name and so forth. And Illinois is a big state. I'm sure there's a lot of Debs, but Deb is watching today, and Deb contacted our ministry because it says here on the note, Deb was wanting to commit suicide yesterday because of all of her health and family issues. But the note says that she encountered someone who knew of my ministry, and that person who was familiar with my ministry witnessed to her about the Lord and told her to contact the ministry, and she did, and she's watching today. Praise the Lord. So let's pray for Deb, that God would deliver her from suicidal thoughts, that God will heal her body. And it says that she is also highly sensitive to everything. She can't even touch a CD without a reaction. And she has a, quote, mystery illness for 30 years, and the doctors don't know what it is. Well, I know what it is. What is it, Pastor Stephen? It's a demon. It's a demon tormenting her. If you can't touch a CD and you can't touch a piece of wood because something's wrong, that's called a demon. Praise God. My friends, let us unite our faith right now and pray for Deb. She's watching. Heavenly Father, as a church family and also as ministry friends around the world, we lift up Deb. I know there's many people that are watching that have urgent needs. But Father, we want to take a moment and pray for Deb, because the devil wanted her to kill herself yesterday, and you sent help. So Father, we pray for Deb right now. Deb, in the name of Jesus, I command the spirit that's tormenting you to leave. In the name of Jesus, I command the suicide spirit to loose you and let you go. Now, in the name of Jesus, I break its power. I break its power. In the name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise. I thank you for the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I want to give an invitation for salvation. Deb, I don't know if you know Jesus or not. And I believe there's others watching. You may not know Christ as your Lord and Savior. If that is you, and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today is the day of salvation. So I want you to ask Christ into your heart now, so that you can receive deliverance and eternal life and forgiveness of sins. Just repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, but you died on the cross to save sinners. Jesus, I surrender my life to you now. Come into my heart. Wash all of my sins away with your precious blood. Write my name in your book of life, and I receive you now as my Lord and Savior, and I dedicate my life to you. Lord Jesus, in your name I pray. Amen. And amen. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Welcome to the family of God. And Deb, receive your deliverance. Receive your deliverance in Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I break tormenting, demonic affliction off the mind of anyone that's being tormented right now. Satan, loose them in the name of Jesus. I break your power in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise. In the name of the Lord, we thank you for healing right now of all severe depression, of all suicidal thoughts. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father. It's a new day of new life and a new day of walking with you in the Spirit. Hallelujah. We give you praise. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, my friends, for joining me in prayer. The pray for Deb. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I believe we're going to hear a good testimony. Now, let's take Holy Communion together. And by the way, I would encourage you to get these little packages where you have the bread on one end. It's sealed, and then you have the grape juice on the other end. And you can take it with you anywhere you go. And we're going to try to get some of these stocked on the ministry online store. But for now, you can buy them just about anywhere on the internet. Just Google, the little communion cups. Praise God. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the bread and the juice. We thank you, Father God, that as we bless this now and set it apart as holy, this is now the body and the blood of Jesus. Father, we just give you all of the praise. We thank you for the body of Christ, that as we receive his flesh, we thank you, Father God, we have access through the shed blood of Christ into the realm of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, O God, for the things that you want to reveal to us, unveil to us, and for empowering us to be able to step on demand into the Spirit. Father, we give you praise. We thank you that we cannot live in past generations. We cannot even live in past decades. We must be able to meet the needs of the hour, the needs of the moment. And that acquires access to you, help from you. We thank you, Father, that as we receive the flesh of Christ, we take that access by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's receive. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, swinging an axe is a gross, blunt motor skill. But Being on the PGA Tour and hitting a little bitty tiny golf ball is a fine motor skill. Anybody can hit it, but to hit it and make it go in that hole, that's developing motor skills throughout your body to a very high level where you actually get paid money to do it. Praise the Lord. Same thing with shooting a basketball in the NBA or being in professional baseball and throwing a baseball at 100 miles per hour in that little bitty section over there, the strike zone. That's fine motor skills. As we receive the blood of Jesus, be sure to practice the fine motor skills of walking in the Spirit. If you don't give attention to it, and if you neglect it, those fine skills can begin to be lost. I picked up a basketball sometime back. I had not touched one in 4 years. And I shot the basketball, and it felt so awkward. What used to be so smooth and so much fun. And I could just, you know, hit the shots, hit the three-pointers and playing with friends. I could make those shots. It felt like I was throwing a brick. There was no fluidity in my movement, not in my knees or legs when I pushed and not in my arms when I made the shot. It looked and felt horrible. It felt like I was starting all over again. Now, I could get it back because there is muscle memory. And the same thing exists in the spiritual realm as well. But how about this? The things that are important that we don't want to lose, why don't we maintain them and even develop them further? Father, thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for a fine-tuned walk in the Spirit. We receive forgiveness and cleansing of all sins. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise for the blood of Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen. Let's receive. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Well, my friends, before saying goodbye today, remember, Supernatural Fragrance is now available. And if you're new to our online store, there's a lot of other good products there as well that will help you spiritually to venture on out there into the spirit realm. Mm-mm. When I'm talking about the spirit realm, I'm talking about going into the heart of God in the Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to show you what He wants to unveil to you. Praise the Lord. I feel led to pray for those that would like to operate in the spiritual gift of prophecy. Out of the 9 gifts of the Spirit, prophecy is the easiest gift to get activated and up and running in your life. Praise the Lord. If you want to flow and operate in the gift of prophecy, and I love to operate in the gift of prophecy, please right now lift your hands and do this. Put one hand on the screen and the anointing is going to come into you, the anointing to prophesy. Father, I pray for those that are watching with the hand on the screen and another hand lifted to you, and they desired the gift of prophecy, and were actually instructed to desire that gift. So, Father God, I release that anointing. Let the anointing of prophecy come upon them now to prophesy for exhortation, edification, comfort. And for some, you'll take them further as they walk with you. You'll take them further. As they refuse to come down from the cross, you'll take them further into unveiling the mysteries and the secrets of the hearts of those that would come across their path that they are to minister to. Father, I just release the prophetic anointing. In Jesus' name, receive. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, Pastor Stephen, I believe I've received. What do I do? What do I do? You find some way to exercise that. Praise the Lord. So find somebody to minister to and stir it up and watch. It'll begin to pour out and flow out. Praise God. And as you develop that, you can become very precise in that gift. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray you bless your people as they walk with you in the Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. My friends, thanks for watching. I'll see you back next time. Bye-bye.